Hey folks, it's me, Kyrie. I know normally you hear my voice during the break, but I felt it was important to get here and take care of the shoutouts and other business before we get to the heavy stuff. Not gonna lie, this episode was really hard to record and edit and listen to. So first off, trigger warning, transphobia, homophobia, violence against trans folk, ableism, and talk of dysphoria. If any of those things are your triggers, you are absolutely under no obligation to listen to this episode. So first off, Ultimate Despair Reprise is hosted on the Scanline Media Network. Check out scanlinemedia.com or on Patreon, Scanline Media. If you give to their Patreon at $1 a month, you get access to exclusive podcasts and to vote on the streams. I was just on an episode of Oops All Anime talking about Wakako Kozake. Give them a listen. Thank you to Danny for the fun Monokuma voice clips. Follow them on Twitter at MellowFrost. That's a 3 for the E and a 0 for the second O for more voice work. Thank you for reading the bumper on last episode as well. People really like that. Music this week has been provided by Vetrom. Follow them on YouTube at youtube.com/VTMprojects for their video game and anime remixes. Big thank you for the use of their remixes. And the ending track for this episode has been provided by a good friend of mine, Jamie Lynn. Their track Splash Nebula off the album A Sentimental Cry felt like the right fit as a way to uplift you after how difficult and heavy this episode is going to be. Please check her music out at SoundCloud on soundcloud.com/CloverSeaLife. You can also follow her on Twitter at CloverSeaLife. Huge thank you for letting us use the tracks. When we started this project, we knew this episode was going to be really challenging. One of our core tenets when we started this show was being honest. And honestly, it was this particular chapter was part of the reason why I was so hesitant to bring Jackie and Inez on board, because of how difficult this chapter is. It's a lot. Listen, Jen and I really love Chihiro. We all love Chihiro here because they mean a lot to us. And this chapter sucks. Not gonna lie. So on the blog post for this episode on scanlinemedia.com, we will have a link to Jackie's save file from the Steam version of Danganronpa 1. So if you have the Steam version, you don't want to play this chapter, it's just fine. We will have a link for you to download so that you can take off from her save so that you don't have to experience this. If you join us for this chapter, please take care of yourself. I put the music at the end, as a way to kind of uplift us. And I hope that it finds you well, honestly. I hope that if you are listening to this episode and you are struggling with being queer in a world like ours, know that we are here for you. We get it. You are not alone. And thank you, if you're listening, thank you for letting us into your life, your routine, whether you listen to this podcast, on the regular, or you're catching up on all these episodes. I really appreciate it. Thank you for letting us make silly jokes and talk about the series that we like, and we are humbled by it. So thank you. Anyway. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? Without any further ado, This is Ultimate Despair Reprise episode 4.5. Talk to you later. Peace.
Sucks, man.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling, isn't it? Hey everybody, welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. I am, of course, I am your ultimate host, Kyrie.
And
I am...
Okay, sorry.
Jen, you can go first.
No, you can go first.
No, I am the ultimate polite student. I have to... It's my bit.
Okay, I'm the ultimate podcaster, Jennifer Uncle.
And I'm the ultimate polite student, Jackie Platinum, and...
Right now, the ultimate absent student is Inez. She won't be joining us for this episode, because welcome to the heavy episode!
Yeah, it's entirely understandable. We are about to jump headfirst into this big old fucking dumpster fire, huh?
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, before we started recording, we kind of talked about how this episode's kind of like going to a buffet. And, you know, there's some okay options. Like, oh, there's some lo mein, there's some egg rolls. There's
and
some,
somebody just know, cut a bunch of pieces of chicken into the shape of a swastika and put that, like, right dead front and center.
Yeah, and it's also made from bear shit. It's, and we're just kind of looking around wondering, hey, why is this here? Hey! Why is this here?
Kind of really shits all over the actual good stuff of this chapter.
Full disclosure, we definitely knew about this chapter going in.
Yeah, I was actually one of the reasons I initially did not play Danganronpa was because I kind of knew about the Chihiro case, and that's got to kind of speaks to how far reaching it is, because like even I at the time when it came out, like I had nothing to do. I wasn't even into visual novels, and I kind of was turned off by that.
Yeah, and I think Jen and I, we kind of like we played the games at different times, but I certainly didn't know about this case before I went into it.
Yeah, back when I played this in 2015, I had no clue going in, and for complicated reasons, it made me like Chihiro even more, but, no worries. It's a downright lousy case.
Yep. I mean, listen, the Zaibatsu, I mean, we're here, we love Chihiro, we will continue to love Chihiro. She is great, and she got done dang dirty. Done did dirty this episode.
Yeah, Chihiro got the shortest possible end of the stick.
So, our sweet baby child, Chihiro, she has been murdered and strung up with some extension cord. And so it kind of... God. So we kind of start, and then Byakuya is very instantly... like, kind of grabbing us by the collar and just sort of, like, leading us around. And all I know was, when I was playing this, I was like, oh, shit, this is hot. Why do I like this?
Well,
God damn it.
Byakuya is not a top, Kiri. God damn.
I know he's not a top.
It's not in his power to do that. You're the one who's supposed to grab him by the collar.
He's a bottom. He tries to pretend.
He's the bottomest bitch of the bottomest bitches. He's a big old brat. My first take on this system was like, oh yeah, he's taking it seriously. He's taking this seriously too in his own kind of way. And I was like, kind of had a more positive take on this. That frankly, towards the end of the chapter, just kind of fell apart completely when it got revealed that he was just fucking with us.
Yeah, yeah, which is like. In line with his character.
It's in line with his character, but wholly inappropriate for the whole you know, somebody just got, like, for the gravity of the sequence.
Byakuya is a character who, his wealth has clearly separated him from other human beings to the point where he thinks that this is all a fun game, so he sees an opportunity to have more fun within this at the expense of everyone else and the victim, and he takes it.
Yeah, Byakuya just very much, I have some gulag reservations for him, you know, his own guillotine appointment, you know, just really eat the rich, you know, like,
yeah. Definitely forced to,
he's a,
like...
He's a fun antagonistic figure, but really unpleasant.
Yeah, it's one of those things where there's some things in this chapter, this is just kind of a general media thing, is that a character or actions a character can take can kind of, like, or a villain can make me, like, hate the character or hate the writers. And many things that Byakuya did this chapter, I was more on the side of, I hate the character, but, like, that's clearly the point. Like, they're trying to make Byakuya a huge dickhole, and, it works, you know, in some respect.
Yeah. And I kind of see this as a big old contrast to Mondo, who I largely just hated how he was written for this bit. Because, I mean, I touched this down. I did a big old thread on Goblin Slayer when it came out, and how, you know, its opening sequence didn't really sell its antagonist figure to me so much as it did make me disillusioned with the writing and not really want to engage with the text on its own terms. And Mondo's whole, like, motive kind of made me feel the same way, where it's like, this isn't written by somebody. This sequence wasn't really put together in a way to be representative of how, like, an individual functions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more like, oh, he needed to do a bad thing to make the plot move along. Right. And, like, so he kills Chihiro, and, oh yeah, by the way, you know, Chihiro's actually a man and all this stupid bullshit, and it's like, that doesn't make me feel anything towards the text. That just makes you the writer, look like a dumbass. Like, you just, like, as a writer, you just don't look like you have, like, you don't look like you're taking your own writing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's no thoughtfulness to it, there's no, you know, God, it's really mean. The entire sequence after the class trial recess was so mean-spirited and, like, just fucking repulsive at points. Like, all of these characters going really out of their way to be, like, just brutalize Chihiro. And I can see why Jen, when she says that, you know, she can't really recommend this game, has to put a big ol' asterisk. You know, when she does, and I can definitely see why. Like, I was expecting it to not be great. I wasn't expecting it to be that bad. Like, mm-hmm. fucking Sakura Ogami, like she recoils in shock, and what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Jen, you were having a... You were gonna say something?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the anime and manga versions of this case streamline the process to the point where it doesn't really linger and put a whole show on it about this whole thing. So the way that, even coming back to it, the way that I'm blanking on the detective character's name because I'm... Oh, Kiryu.
Kyoko.
Yeah. The way that Kyoko essentially makes a big show out of it. She goes to Monokuma, oh, I know what will spice this trial up. Can we have a recess? I want to take them somewhere. And then she's like, hey, why don't one of you... Why don't we all gather around and feel up our dead classmate? I'm sure we'll find out something interesting.
You see, here's the thing. Sorry, it's like this, like, move from Kirigiri doesn't feel like a Kirigiri move. Like, it feels like that was, like, that's something Byakuya would do. That's something
that didn't feel like... That felt very much like a huge departure from her character.
Yeah. Like, I have some thoughts on this whole sequence now that we're kind of here. I have a theory as to kind of why it's really shitty. Would you be interested?
Yeah. Drop that shit on us.
So, I kind of talked about this on our Discord server last night. But basically, I looked into some materials about, like, the development of this game. The first draft of Danganronpa was a game called Distrust. Some photos came out a couple years ago. Like, Spike Chunsoft was doing, like, a Danganronpa, like, thing at, like, at a press event or something. It was kind of showing off some old materials, right? And there is some beta designs for Chihiro, where in the beta, Chihiro is not a, like, female character. Like, Chihiro's kind of, like, this mousy guy, and a lot of, like, details about it start, like, making a weird amount of sense. So, like, we mentioned in episode one that Chihiro was originally two characters, later, like, merged into one, like, explicitly was going to be, like, a set of twins, right? And I think a large part of it is, and again, please do not interpret this as me excusing Danganronpa's writers and producers and the people who worked on it for this, but this is feels like a old script that was retrofitted to when the project changed direction, and they were like, well, shit, we, like, you know, there was a lot of elements that they had to make, had to shift around, and one of them was Chihiro eventually, like, becoming a female character, and then they were like, well, shit, we gotta write around this thing, and there's so many elements that are out of place, not just because for this game, but just, like, the franchise in general. Like, there's that weird clue near the entrance of the school where it's like, oh, here's where all the dead people's PDAs go, in this unlocked folder, in this unlocked fucking drawer that everybody has access to. Like, it feels like these weird elements that were put in there just so that they could, like, make whatever they had worked. Like, heck, when they go into after Mondo is, you know, Panda's the killer, right? They go into this long sob story about, like, their backstory, Chihiro and Mondo's backstories. But it's literally just Chihiro's sprites put against a black, like, a backdrop of nothing, right? And there's one non-animated CG, right? And then we get to, like, Mondo's backstory, and there are these, like, kind of striking, beautiful, like, pictures of, you know, his brother being hit by a truck and all this shit, right? And I feel like, and this is unsubstantiated, but, like, I feel like there was originally, the plot line was going to be something along the lines of something happened to Chihiro's sibling, and their deep, dark secret wasn't that they were trans, the deep, dark secret was something happened to their sibling, right? And that is what triggers, like, Mondo wanting to, like, murder Chihiro, right? Is that, oh, you think you're better than me at dealing with, like, your sibling's, like, death, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, like, maybe, I think maybe the sequence could have been that Chihiro, that Proto Chihiro confronted Mondo with their secret.
Their secret.
Like, oh, like, yeah, you know. Maybe
I pretend to be my twin because
something happened to them, and then Mondo, because he went through this grief and he had his sibling and die on him, he you know, this kind of causes this emotional response, and it's like, you know,
the line in the game is something along the lines of, you think you're fucking stronger
you're better than me, like. Yeah. The idea of, like, oh, you know, I actually kind of a little bit like that conclusion, the idea of, like, you know, Chihiro is stronger it's taken in the exact opposite direction of, like, for essentially transitioning, when it should be, oh, Chihiro is stronger for embracing herself and being in, you know, wanting to be a woman and going towards those steps, like. If they were to remake Danganronpa and really, like, rework it, if Danganronpa were to come out now in 2019, I think that's maybe the angle that they would take.
I mean, That's actually honestly how I was thinking about it, was like, I don't know how about how y'all feel, but it's like, I'm okay with you know, characters dying and queer characters dying. I don't like fridging these characters, but like, the nature of Danganronpa is that, you know, a bunch of people are going to die, and I think that if a character has to die, you need to tell an interesting story, right? And I would, on some level, be okay with, like, this angle of Mondo being like, I actually was jealous of Chihiro. I was jealous of, like, her ability to be strong when I was just a weakling, right? Well, that's stretching it.
Yeah.
Jen, what do you think?
I definitely agree.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, I have problems with the way that, to me, ultimately, this case has always been a trans panic case. Like, the way that it plays out, it's impossible not to think about how so many people, like myself, like others, like us, get killed if someone finds out that we're trans. And to me, a lot of the writing around this case is someone figuring out in the writing room or within the team that, hey, if we just leave it as it is, it's going to come across in the most fucking awful way possible, so we need to crouch it in stuff like, oh, we killed her because she's so brave, that's why we did it, not because we're fucking bigots. And that's the thing about it. The whole backstory leaves such a awful taste in my mouth because it feels like them walking themselves out of a corner they've made, where they've made a character where they made a character that kills another character because they're trans. That's the beginning and end of it. And they're basically like, okay, but we need to have the audience have some sympathy for Mondo. So we're going to come up with this whole ludicrous backstory to make it seem like, oh no, he was actually jealous of her. And just seeing that play out within the flashback scene where the murder actually happens, all I could think was there was something very visceral about the way Chihiro was reacting to Mondo getting super angry that felt very, very real in a way that none of the other dialogue did. And it felt like someone was basically dubbing over a situation, even though it was all created from the same artist and same writer. And yeah, it's just one of the situations where it's top to bottom awful, and I don't see how they could ever, they do their best to try and show, oh no, we actually do care about Chihiro for the rest of the games. Like, they make her a fixture in some ways throughout the rest of the games because they know that what they did was awful, but it doesn't change the fact that what everything that happens here is so fucking awful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like, I mean, the more and more I think about this case is like, this case would not be as disgusting if Chihiro was not a, like if they were just the beta, like, design of just a mousy dude, right? Like, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't be putting 1,000 disclaimers at the beginning of the episode and all that, right? Like, if this was just a case of, like, weak male character looks up to big strong guy thinks it's a threat to their masculinity or something and kills them or whatever, right? Like, I don't think we would be having this type of conversation, you know?
Perhaps not.
Honestly, I think we would still be having this kind of conversation. Yeah. Because
we like, would, but
no matter how you look at it, this whole scenario is just coded as trans. I mean, it's not coded; it's literally explicit transphobic violence. Like that's what it is. And at the end, I mean, as Jen said, you know, from start to finish, you know, top to bottom, you know, it is transphobic violence, and really the only, like, way you can't really remove this chapter and make it better. Like, you can't really remove that aspect of this chapter because it's just so heavily baked in. Like, you gotta throw the whole thing out and start new.
Yeah, you would have to rewrite the entire thing, strip out the entire, like, it is rotten to its core.
Like, and part of it, I think, is because just the chapter is very self, like, the chapter is a very self-contained experience in kind of a way. Like, there's really, like, everything from start to bottom is centers around, like, Mondo, and then, really, it centers around Mondo, and then to a much lesser level, you know, oh yeah, there's Chihiro, and also she's dead. You know, and, whoop, there she is, now she's dead. And it's like...
Yeah, like, I would say there's, like, two or three elements that, like, are important to the overall story, but, like, it could easily have, like, those elements could be placed elsewhere. Like
yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, Genocide or Show can show up at other locations. And
she could have, Genocide or Show could have shown up in the first trial or something, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely. And it's, God, I really, really like Chihiro a lot. She is a very important character to me, and it's, like, when I first got to this case, my heart sank, you know? And revisiting it, I was just more annoyed. I was more like, oh, right, we're doing this, huh? Especially considering when there are so many pieces that, like, within that story that could still, like, work, you know, like, I begrudgingly think, like, you could tell an interesting story about toxic masculinity with Mondo as a character. You could still tell that story, but they don't in this case. Like, they fought, like, this case sucks so much. Like, this, that portion, you know, and I don't know. It's, like, you're right, we would have to completely strip it out and change it in order to make it work.
And even then, series has a... Even if Chihiro was stripped out entirely and wasn't part of this series at all, we still have the character of Sakura Gami. This is just a one-time case that... Well, it's not just a one thing within Danganronpa 1. Like, if you look at the beta art for Sakura Gami, it is awful. It is...
Oh, yeah.
It is even more transphobic than her character is as currently designed. And they do write by Sakura Gami through the narrative as we go on, but,
Which is the fucked up thing, because, like, they do write by Sakura. We like or I don't know how you feel, I like Sakura as a character. I think she's interesting, and she has depth, and it's, like, there is something to this character, and they do a good job with her, and it's just really striking how they have a character like Sakura, and they do some, you know, they manage to avoid this, like, for the most part, this massively transphobic, like, pit with her, and then completely fuck up Chihiro's storyline. Like, it's, like, incomprehensible on some level. Like, these are written by completely different people at a certain point. Sorry, I felt like I cut you off. Jen, you were saying?
Oh, no, it's fine. I was just gonna add to that and be like, the way that they treat Chihiro, the rest of the class treats Chihiro for the rest of this case, it gets a bit better in the next case because they're still talking about her, but the way that she's treated in this case is basically like an object as soon as she's dead, both in terms of personal space and the way that they refer to her. It's
it gets horrific. Fucking explicitly stated in the beginning by Byakuya, like, oh yeah, once somebody that once now that Chihiro's dead, she's just an object. And
Byakuya.
Yeah, if everybody else in the if everybody else in the group disagreed with Byakuya vehemently, that would be good. I was expecting that to happen, and nobody said anything. And everybody's like, "Yup, I guess that's cold." Yeah, he's cold hearted, but he's right, and it's like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, you would think like Makoto would be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Byakuya? That's our friend we're talking about. Like, Byakuya should have been...
Yeah, just because you have no friends, Byakuya, it doesn't mean that, you know...
Right. You can have... It's one of those things where, you know, someone really, like, should, like, it really should have just been, like, most of this stuff should have just been placed on Byakuya the character, because at that point you realize, you know, that gives him, like, yeah, that makes him an asshole, but then the narrative would also be telling us, like, hey, don't be like Byakuya, because you would have characters who is, like, you know, Celeste should have said something of, like, listen, I'm cold, but I'm not that cold. You know, something like that. Like, and I understand this is a game of survival, but, like, you're just being a dick.
Yeah, and in the Goblin, and in the same, like, in the same vein as, like, Goblin Slayer, you know, this is one of the, this is one of those things where, because the world validates this statement, it's, it makes us not dislike the character, but dislike the writer.
Right.
Because this is, because Byakuya is acting as, essentially, a mouthpiece for, what they, for the tone and the, like, and the precedence that the writer wants to establish for this sequence. And it fucking sucks.
He, Byakuya should exist as a character to basically be proven wrong or proven differently, or,
he's a dark mirror to Kirigiri. This is big. He's essentially, like, he is the mentor. He's a mentor figure in a sense, in the same way that Kyoko is. But Kyoko is much more empathetic, should be. She wasn't for this sequence because the writers are fucking hacks. But she should be more empathetic. She should, like, you know, Kyoko is much more respectful and doesn't view herself as above anybody else. Whereas Byakuya's whole thing is he's exactly not that. He's quote-unquote cold and calculating, but he's really just kind of full of himself. And he's he doesn't care about his classmates. He views this as a game to win. And
exactly.
It's this, I have to win this game mindset. Like, in another time and place, maybe this game would have had, like, the sense to go right off the bat that, like, Byakuya wants to be the boot stomping on the human head forever, and there should just not be that. He shouldn't aspire to be that. Like, that's not a funny quirk. Or, like, he should. I mean, he does, because he is a hateable villain, and that's the point. But you shouldn't want to be, you shouldn't hold those same values. You shouldn't want to do this. Like, if the text would hold that, if the text itself would hold values contrary to Byakuya. But unfortunately, it ends up lionizing him quite a bit during this chapter.
Yeah, in this chapter, absolutely. And I will say that, like, throughout the rest of this game, you do get this sort of dressing down of Byakuya's philosophy, and he sort of starts coming around and realizes that, like, oh wait, I was the wrong one. Like that's the really, really frustrating thing, is that there are arcs and, like, ideas in this game that they do manage to capitalize and make work. Like, half the reason I like Byakuya as a character is because he does change. He grows up. Like, I mean, the presence of Genocider Show makes him, like, a little bit more humble, to say the least, and he learns to, like, be that more empathetic, be that person who isn't who he is now. And I am okay with having a chapter in which he is the complete and total dirtbag, but only if the narrative is willing to call him out on it, and the narrative is willing to either A, go through the process of making him change, or B, he doesn't change, but is punished for not changing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there needs to be, like, the perspective of the text needs to be at odds with the perspective of its antagonistic figures, or it makes some effort to, like, saying, oh, he's not just an antagonist because he's mean, he's an antagonist because he's fundamentally wrong-headed. Yeah. Anyway, so we've done quite a bit of talking about,
Jen, did you have any other thoughts
on what we were talking about? On this case, or just the Byakuya thing?
We're just kind of doing a free play. It's jazz, baby.
Okay,
we're making jazz with our mouths.
I guess this is, on a slightly less serious note, in the English version it's Genocide Jack and Genocide Jill, in the Japanese version it's Genocider Show, and that also carries over to the anime. I just figured I would let folks know. Yeah. Because I feel like on this cast, at least, some of us have our preferred way to talk about it, so...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I've been calling her show. We should probably decide
I've been calling her show as well, because I don't like Genocide Jack or Jill. Those names kind of suck, and
I feel like Genocide or Show
is much better, but... Oh, I'm sorry.
I feel like Genocide or Show is, like, at least it's a gender-neutral Japanese name, but if I was doing the translation of this game in 2019, I would have her first line be, "It's showtime."
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. I am surprised that they did not keep that in. Also,
Let's talk about Genocide or Show.
Also, I kind of found it a little bit, like, skeevy, I think, that it went from, like, Genocide Jack to Genocide Jill in the same chapter where there's, like, there's just this big undercurrent of transphobic violence. Like, maybe that's not a thing I want to engage with.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why, like, with Genocide or Show is, like, in the Japanese, like, audio... they just universally refer to her as Genocide or Show, because Show, most Japanese names tend to be a little bit more neutral. I don't know if Show is explicitly masculine coded.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah. At the very least, they don't, like, change it. Like, it's, like, even within the game, they don't, like, seem to pick, but other than that, she's a really fun character.
Yeah, she fucking rules. When I was running through the... Yeah, so Genocide or Show... Show is a... In Japanese, let's see.
What was that?
It's masculine, okay.
Okay, it's explicitly, yeah, so explicitly masculine, but like...
According to Behind the Name. I don't know how trustworthy Behind the Name is as a source.
Yeah. Regardless, you don't have a weird mix-up of, like, the screenshot is, like, they... call her Genocide Jill, but then they referred to the Genocide Jack King.
Yeah, there's not that much of, like, a big fuck.
That's also real quick, that's part of why I think part of this case is a holdover from previous drafts of the Distrust script, because Distrust took place in a warehouse where these kids were kidnapped and not in this school setting. Like, the original setting was much more like a Saw or, like, a Hostel or, you know, type of horror film setting. And so the idea of a genocidal murderer being, like, a possible antagonistic threat makes a little bit more sense than in this sealed environment that they're in. Like Byakuya making moves to try to expose Genocide or Show... like, in this sealed environment make a lot more sense when you realize, oh, the original script took place in a undisclosed warehouse that people would, in theory, have access to. Well, you know what I mean? Like Hope's Peak is, like, kind of terra incognita, kind of, like, completely sealed off environment. Where did Byakuya get the idea that the serial killer was among them, unless he had figured out that... I mean, well, he did mention that he had kind of figured out that Toko is... Genocide or Show, but
yeah, it was figured out because there's a big old archive in the school of all information ever.
Fucking Byakuya, like, bringing Makoto to his private chapter. It's like, it's like, "Oh, Makoto, are you impressed? Look at all these books I read."
I'm pretty sure nobody who wrote this game has ever met, like, a super rich heir to, like, an estate, because I'm gonna be real with you. None of those motherfuckers know how to read. They are dumb as shit. Every single one of them.
What if Byakuya doesn't know how to read? He's just pretending. Makoto.
He's just really lucky guesses.
Just making a series of lucky guesses because he thinks Makoto is cute, so he brings him into his private chamber to try and impress him.
Alright, Makoto, you're gonna fuck me right here and right now. Wait, it's shit. If Byakuya can't read, he might actually be a top. I have been hoisted by my own guitar. I've hoisted my own card. And then, which in turn has hoisted me.
I broke my own levels again.
Alright, and I made Kiri break her own levels. I've broken my own, but...
What do you think?
What do I think about
read or not?
I think Byakuya can read, but he's... It's like
Byakuya confirmed for literate.
It's like that Devil May Cry 5 edit where someone, where V's like, oh, just engaging in some reading, and it's the hungry little caterpillar. I think that he mostly reads stuff like that, and then when he just sees a bunch of important looking files, he's like, oh, you see those? Those are government secrets. I have 10 more of these back home, and
he pulls one out, and it's just a fucking crayon drawing of, like, me and my friends! Me and my murder buddies!
Mikoto, are you not impressed? Are you not impressed by my
drawing?
I
like to engage in some right... I like to engage in some light reading from time to time. He's holding, like, War and Peace in his hands. But then, like, you, like... You zoom in, and you see just the very edge of, like, a fucking Super Smash Brothers instruction manual in there.
I will figure out your moves, Fox McCloud.
Fox McCloud. You will not
Fox McCloud, my eternal enemy.
I will figure out how to shine spark.
I will not be wobble comboed anymore.
So,
once I learn how to wobble, you hoes are finished.
I was gonna say, so out of curiosity, Jackie, after the execution and the trial, was there anything brought up that struck you as interesting?
There was a sequence with the fucking gray dude, and I don't even want to talk about it. Fuck that. I am so sick of this. I'm so sick of this gray motherfucker. Not only do I have to see his naked ass every trial, I gotta see him
every time murdering
too.
Our favorite characters. Well,
he murders all of my favorite characters, and he turns out to be all the other ones that are kind of okay, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's just fucking extremely nude. Can't shoot him in laser tag. Doesn't have a vest on. Can't rack up any points. I hate this guy.
I feel like I need to edit that frame from Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Dennis is like, "I'm sick of this dude." It's
Once I find that fucking naked gray man, his shit's finished. I will personally wring his fucking neck. So Koda Naegi will put the fucking smackdown on this gray man, just like he did to the crane with that bird. Friends.
Yeah. I was also thinking about a specific moment where Kirigiri goes, "Hey Monokuma, you put a lot of effort into these executions, huh?" And Monokuma just goes, "Oh yeah, they're not just for you," and just leaps it at that.
Oh yeah, that kind of leads... Okay, so like my hypothesis is that this shit is televised. Or something to a group, but also like because of course it would be, and all, or it could be like one of those things where it's like, you know, that kind of Spec Ops line thing where it's like, haha, we're shaming you for playing video game. But I really hope it's not that.
Yeah, you definitely have another alternate theory that I can kind of toss at you because I know how this goes. But if I want to get you thinking a little bit, is that. Yeah, it could also be like a HAL situation where it's like Monokuma's just kind of operating on autopilot. And it's just sort of like, oh, I was programmed to do something like this because I was originally built for something else.
I thought he was just a normal bear. What are you talking about?
A bear that explodes.
A bear can't be... Have you programmed a bear, Kiri?
Have you ever thrown a bear?
Hold on, Chihiro's the ultimate programmer. Was she killed because she was hacking into the bears?
She was hacking into the mono mainframe.
The crane that Makoto put the smackdown on was a spy for Chihiro. Birds aren't real. Wake up, sheeple.
But yeah, like after the execution where Mono gets turned into some butter. Again, Monokuma confirmed for Ted Cruz at this point.
Wow, a cow made of butter! The Mono Cubs would love it! In fact, the first sentence Monofony ever said was, "I like butter!"
Yeah, what the fuck was that sequence where Mono gets turned into butter?
It's even, I think in the
I
anime,
feel like, that, I feel like that's like a pun, but like, I'm not smart enough to get it.
It's not, because do you know what they call butter in Japanese?
What?
Fucking butter. Like, it's just bata.
Wait, they call butter in Japanese fucking butter? What do they call normal butter? Oh, no!
That's coconut butter.
Oh, okay, coconut butter's for fucking.
Yep.
I mean, that's
anyway. It's not like a pun or anything. But I think in the anime, it shows like Monokuma. Like they show the cute little crayon drawing of Monokuma eating some pancakes. And in the anime, I think it's Monokuma's just really digging down on some pancakes and using Mondo butter, which is just, it's a lot. If nothing else, I like it when the executions are bizarre. And it's certainly a bizarre aside, but after the execution and stuff, you do get this scene where Monokuma appears to be sitting in a control room, and he's talking to the naked gray man. And it's like, you know, our agreement was you were going to make the first move. Luckily, that girl got everything started. It's more like a roller coaster. Once one thing starts, they just can't stop. But per our agreement, you were supposed to make the first move. So, that is, Jackie, what do you think about that as, the broader plot of, where this is going?
I have no fucking clue. I honestly...
So you don't have any guesses as to who the heck Monokuma's talking to?
I have no clue who Monokuma is talking to, and I'm gonna be real with you, Chief. I'm pretty sure that's none of my business for now. For the time being, that ain't none of my business. I'm keeping that in mind, but I'm filing it away in the corner, and I'm just gonna keep going about my shit, trying to find a way out of this hell school, this clown college. And then maybe hopefully not get murdered, hopefully not murder anybody, because that's just because these class trials, again, big old pain in the ass. I was thinking about actually mechanically the class trials, because I'm still kind of miffed about, I don't dislike them. I think the new mechanic where you can take an argument and absorb it and then fire it again, I actually really like that, but I feel like they should have introduced it in the last one.
Yeah, that mechanic is really cool. It reminds me of some of my favorite moments in Ace Attorney, where unfortunately they make it explicitly clear, I'm gonna amend this statement so that you can present some evidence to contradict it. But I do love the idea of taking someone's statement and firing it back at them, or firing it at another person in order to make a contradiction clear. There is one thing that kind of holds this game back, though, and Jen, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the second game introduces the ability to consent to somebody's argument, and I don't think that's present in this game. Everything is always a contradiction, so you have this kind of, limited design when it comes to, writing the script for these trials.
Maybe Makoto's just mean.
Maybe Makoto...
Yeah, maybe it's just mean, Doug.
Well, it's I think about how Hagakure kind of has to, toss, fucking underhand balls at you in order to be like, oh, that's a contradiction because Hagakure's an idiot.
I mean, he is an idiot. Hagakure is, the character I have the least problems with.
Hagakure's so good. Man's
said nothing mean about Chihiro. He is off my shit list permanently.
He would smoke pot with Chihiro, and they would just have, some really deep conversations about, he wouldn't understand half the conversations about gender that Chihiro is talking about.
Yeah, Chihiro would be
he would be like, listen.
He'd be like, rock on, you funky little chick. I don't know.
Listen, it's a binary. Code is binary. It's zeros and ones, you know?
But people don't work like that.
Rock on, Chihiro.
I don't know what you just said, but I fucking... That sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me, but I agree.
It's like... You know, Chihiro, when you put it that way, gender does sound like some bullshit.
I don't fucking understand. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about, dog.
Fucking hits bong.
Gender. He hits the bong and he's just like, we live in a society, huh?
Hits bong, says gender.
Yeah, his voice just deep fries. But there we go, yeah, so.
Gender.
Hagakure is cool, and a lot of people in this chapter have not been cool. Everybody should be more like Hagakure. That's my thesis on chapter two. Two stones to get into fights. Too stoned to do murders. Hopefully just stoned enough to find a way out of here.
Now, Jen, I don't know if you've had this issue, but, like, I knew where this case was going, and even I had some trouble with, like, figuring out the right statements to contradict. Like, at one point, they bring up, oh, you need to prove that the crime scene was switched, and I naturally thought, oh, the carpet was the easiest lead, but nope, it was looking for the posters.
Oh, yeah, I thought the posters were, I mean, I didn't really have trouble. I thought the posters were a pretty good,
I felt like either of those, like, clues could have should have worked to be,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Introduce one thing and then introduce the other to complete the thought.
But I definitely feel like it should be a little more open-ended. The game should be a little more open-ended.
Yeah, I haven't had much problem with the poster thing. I did have a problem with the fill-in-the-blank thing, because I was expecting something like multiple personality disorder. I was expecting a ableist term.
Can we talk about that for a moment? Because that was really bad. What the fuck, Duggan?
Besides being really offensive, I have a degree in psychology and I have worked in a psychiatric hospital. Schizophrenia is not DID.
Oh, what but like that's fuck? The thing. They're not saying, oh, she's schizophrenic. They're saying, oh, she's a schizo. That's like calling somebody a spastic. Like, oh, she's not.
But like,
she's not. Schizo, you know, she doesn't
but
have.
Schizo. Yeah, no, it's okay, but it's like schizo and like schizophrenia and like DID get mixed up constantly because of the phrase schizo, and it's like, no, that's not how it works at all. It's like, it just reminds me of that really dumb scene in Heavy Rain where like Ethan is like, oh, they're gonna think I'm a maniac, and I said I'm schizophrenic and I'm murdering children.
Yeah, it's a term that is. That is intentionally offensive. Like, it's almost like, you know, if they were to call her, like, a retard or something. Like, it's really fucking bad. It's just like, again, the tail end of this chapter is so needlessly mean-spirited and just wantonly cruel to its characters. I don't fucking get it. Like, none of this is appealing. None of that was appealing.
The fuck thing is, in the original Japanese version, you actually do fill in, like, multiple personality disorder.
Yeah! You know what? I think the only thing that would have set me off more about this chapter would be if they had open-handedly referred to Chihiro as a trap. Like, I probably would have just fucking... I would have smacked him. I would have walked right up to Spike Chunsoft and, walked right into their headquarters and just smacked every single bitch in there. Like... just absolutely fucking ruined everyone's day. It's like, what the fuck?
You would have come to me and Jen's place and taken away our Vitas.
I would have confiscated your Vita. Your Vita privileges? Dunsky. I would destroy the concept of Vitas.
No bugs. No this bugs. Time around. No bugs. Vita's a good system. 2019.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Fine.
That one person who told us that they still use
shouts,
Vita,
notwithstanding,
nobody fucking plays on the Vita.
Shoutouts to our new followers.
Fucking negative shoutouts to our new followers. I want to see one new unfollower a day. Listen.
Just burn this podcast to the ground.
Burn this fucking podcast to the ground. This will not be a platform for us to advertise the PlayStation Vita. If you have, for at any point in your entire life, touched a PlayStation Vita, I don't want you talking to me. Unfollow me on Twitter. Block me. Send me a quick at so I can block you back. I don't... Vita stands not appreciated. All of you, please leave.
So, this case... is heavy and bad and shitty and god, it was a lot.
Like the PlayStation Vita.
Shut up, it's a good system.
But yeah,
Jen,
this sucks.
Jen, you alright there?
Yeah, I'm all good. I don't blame anyone if this is where they tap out. If this is the case where they go, I can't do any of these anymore, then I completely understand. I just want you to know that this kind of thing never happens to this degree ever again in any of the other games. Like,
absolutely.
There's one moment in two that's kind of eh in terms of this stuff, and it's just a word written in really tiny font on a texture, and it's entirely absent in 3 and V3, and I just want you to know that going forward, you'll never have to deal with a case like this again.
Absolutely. And they you start getting into better depictions of, like, there are some pretty openly queer characters later in this series. And, like, they start doing better. And honestly, if this is the type of, like, I'll say this. If you are, like, if you gotta skip chapter 2, you do that. In fact, Jackie, I'll work with you and maybe we'll figure something out, but, like, I would love to have, like, a save file that people can, like, just download if they have the Steam version of Danganronpa, so that if you just want to play chapter 1 and then be like, okay, I'm gonna load this save file so I go straight to chapter 3, you are more than welcome to, like, we'll figure something out. Or, like, and I will say, like, the next chapter in terms of tone, like, the next, like, I did not realize that the next chapter, which I find a little annoying, but, like, the next chapter will be a welcome relief. I'll tell you that much. Because it's some fucking goofy stuff happens in chapter 3, which is pretty fun. You get to see more of Genocider Shogun. Hey, Jackie, fun fact, you actually can now do social links with Genocider Show.
Oh, this shit rocks.
She has also a unique social link.
Also, I think I found where the save files for Danganronpa are. So, I think, unless I'm wrong, I'll be able to upload my save file. So, y'all can take on from, like, y'all can skip to after chapter 2, and you don't have to wade through the bullshit that we've waded through. If you want to stick with Danganronpa, but don't want to, cannonball into a big old pool of feces.
Exactly. And honestly, if Danganronpa 1 is really not, if you are not interested, I hope you join us for Danganronpa 2, because I think that game is really excellent and does a lot of really good things with, you know, queerness and expressing that. That is in a much more, like, friendly and a much more interested, like, tone. And speaking of which, so this will be put out as a separate episode, but around the same time, we're going to have a little bit more positive episode talking about queerness within the Danganronpa fandom, and because turns out a lot of us really, really like the series. So look forward to that. That'll be around the same time this goes up. Final parting thoughts on this chapter, Jennifer.
It playing through it was a excruciating experience, even more than I expected, and as I mentioned before, if this is where you get off from the series, I totally understand. And in some ways, I kind of almost dislike myself for sticking through it. But I'm happy that I did, because there are moments ahead that are really amazing. So,
oh yeah,
look forward to that.
Yeah, there are moments that genuinely, like, make me, like, cry because of how beautiful they are. Like, in terms of characters who are not within, like, the gender or sexual, like, binaries or anything, and express themselves, like, beautifully. There's some really, really good stuff ahead, and there are some really sweet comments that were put on my form, which we'll go over in the other episode. Some stuff, like, I was blown away by the responses. I got over, like, 30 responses to the little thing we put out, and some people shared some really touching stories, and I can't wait to talk about them. Jackie, final thoughts on chapter 2?
God, am I glad it's over. Yeah. I am a big fan of people revisiting works. Like, if they ever want to redo Danganronpa and make it so that this sequence doesn't suck, I will absolutely be all for it.
Let's do until it. I found some modding tools.
Until then, yeah, I wish they could mod this into being something, anything resembling passable content for a work. Like, But as it stands, like, this gets an oof out of 10 from me. and I'm excitedly looking to putting it behind us.
Yeah. I guess for me, it was rough revisiting this, especially, like, revisiting this because, like, but when I played this the first time, I wasn't really out as a trans person, but even then I knew this was, like, shitty and fucked, and now that I'm much, you know, much more much happier with myself, like, this chapter hits hard, but, you know, like, I remember cosplaying as Chihiro Fujisaki, and so many people were sweet and just, like, there was a really positive response to it, and I felt so happy, like, cosplaying as her. And if nothing else, I'm glad that I was able to take a character who was so horribly mistreated by the text and transform it into a mode of self-expression for me that helped me be happier with myself. Like, I it's how I learned to love myself in some way. It was to be able to cosplay as Chihiro. So, like, revisiting this series and going through this project, I've gotten a new appreciation for Chihiro and just, like, the power that comes with taking something from a toxic narrative and making something beautiful and new out of it. But hey, it's behind us. There goes chapter 2. Woo, down a fucking cliff. Down into the fucking ravine. Good fucking riddance. Jen, how you feeling?
Feeling good that I got this off my chest. As Kirie mentioned, the character is very important to me too, and I played the game like a year before I started HRT and came out to everyone, and while seeing the way that they treat her, still hurts to this day. It's one of those situations where I can have an image of that character, and that image helps me out a lot.
Yeah. We have taken the ball that was dropped and taken it to our own playground. And, you know, done something, I think, good with her. We love Chihiro. Well, everyone, that was a heck of a time. Make sure to treat yourself right. Do something good for yourself today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making it through this episode again. Like, we really like this series, but we knew this one was going to be tough, but hey, it's over now. We can finally put it behind us, and still waiting on your homework of drawing Chihiro Fujisaki in feeding pajamas and a gun. The deadline has been extended indefinitely. You can also draw Chihiro smoking a fat blunt with with Hagakure. Really anything. But with that, class dismissed, everybody. I love you.